The Haines Assembly raises questions about the future of Mosquito Lake School, and the local Fish and Game Advisory Committee debates a subsistence net restriction proposal. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. In 2016, the Haines Borough spent about $29,000 on the Mosquito Lake School facility. The school closed down due to low attendance in 2014. Upper Valley residents fought to keep it open as a community center, but the revenue generated from that activity doesn't come close to covering the costs of keeping the building open. The assembly talked about the future of the facility at its most recent meeting. The motion in front of the assembly was to appoint an advisory board for the Mosquito Lake facility and take the sale of the building off the table for 3 years. Assemblyman Tom Morfitt questioned whether they should make that promise.
I never understood that the sale of the facility was on the table. So I just don't understand why we would handcuff ourselves either way.
A couple years ago, after the school closed, the borough did move to sell the building. Former manager Dave Sosa encountered strong resistance from the community. He ultimately withdrew his request to put the facility up for sale. In early 2016, the borough signed an agreement with Mosquito Lake residents to open the building as a community center. Assemblymember Heather Lendy said after going through that ordeal, taking the sale of the building off the table for 3 years would give Upper Valley residents some peace of mind.
What I heard from the Mosquito Lake community is that this would guarantee them some time, no matter who's sitting up here on the assembly or what the changes may be in the next 2 or 3 years.
But other assembly members said it would be an empty promise because the current assembly can't guarantee what the next assembly will do. They voted 4-1 to remove the language about taking the sale of the facility off the table. Lendy was opposed. Assemblymember Margaret Friednauer said she had major concerns about the borough continuing to put money into the building with no long-term plan. Mosquito Lake residents hope it will eventually reopen as a school. But Friednauer said she talked to Haines School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri, who said that's unlikely in the foreseeable future.
It would take major changes in the state budget, major changes in our borough's population to unfortunately ever see that opening as a school again. Not to mention there's Clapham School 10 miles away, where some of those families go now. So to have two schools within the borough right now is quite a gift when schools like Tenneke have to shut down completely. And I think that that's an argument I don't want to perpetuate false hope.
Friednauer pointed out that the borough has dozens of facilities on its books. Mosquito Lake has two, the school and the Klahini Valley Fire Department. Friednauer suggested there may be a way to combine those resources into one building.
I understand that this is an important entity for the community out there, but the amount of resources that go into it, it's hard for me to swallow.
In 2016, the school community center generated about $450 in income. That only made a small dent in the $29,000 the borough paid to maintain the facility. But Lendy said the assembly needs to recognize the contributions Upper Valley residents make in the form of taxes and community service.
You know, this is about the only thing we do out there for them. And I think it doesn't seem like an exorbitant request.
The assembly voted to appoint an advisory board for the Mosquito Lake building, similar to that for the Chilcat Center. A couple members said they hoped the board could come up with ideas for a long-term plan for the facility. An ordinance codifying the advisory board will come before the assembly in the near future. It was a debate over fractions of inches at the most recent Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee meeting. The committee is proposing subsistence net restrictions in an effort to protect a declining king salmon population. But they've tweaked their proposal to avoid creating a financial hardship for some fishermen. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
King salmon numbers in the Chilcat River are at a historic low. Last year, the escapement estimate was the lowest it's been in about 25 years. And things are not likely to improve in 2017. Fish and Game is forecasting only about 600 large Chinook in river. Last month, the advisory committee voted to ask the Board of Fisheries to set a maximum gillnet size restriction at 5.25 inches. That would apply to the District 15 Southeast Alaska subsistence fishery through August 1st. Chinook aren't targeted in that fishery. The goal of the net restriction is to limit bycatch. Mature king salmon are typically bigger than the sockeye, pink, coho, and chum that are part of the subsistence effort. Ideally, the Chinook wouldn't fit in a smaller net. But Derek Poinsett said he heard from subsistence fishermen after the last meeting who were concerned the measure would require them to get a new net. He recommended increasing the size restriction to 5.375 inches.
I just got a bunch of phone calls and people that had old nets, and they all said they had my nets are all 5.25, but they said they had 5.375, and so I said I would try to amend it. What difference does an eighth of an inch make?
Randy Jackson suggested bumping that up a little further to 5.5, but Poinsett pushed back on that. So did Will Preciandaro.
I think we should stick to 5.375, 5.25. The subsistence fishery, especially early season, is directed towards sockeye, is not directed towards, we're going to save kings, but your net should be directed towards the fishery that is there, not a larger size.
Preciandaro said they should also be conscious of research from fish and game biologist Brian Elliott that shows returning kings are smaller than they once were. With that in mind, Jackson suggested they go back to the original net restriction proposal.
In that context, we should stick to 5.25 because it is going to be more restrictive if somebody has a 5.375 inch net. They're just going to have to come in under the bar and get another net.
But Preciandaro said they should try to avoid creating a financial hardship for local fishermen.
I'm fine with 5.375. I would have liked a 5.25, but I don't want to make a hardship on the subsistence user group.
According to the group, subsistence gillnets can cost anywhere from $50 to hundreds of dollars. The committee voted unanimously to amend the proposal to 5.375 inches. They also voted to change the request to exclude Lutac and Chilkoot inlets from the restrictions. If implemented, subsistence fishing from Glacier Point north in Chilkat Inlet and in the Chilkat River from 4 mile to 1 mile above Wells Bridge would be affected. The proposal will go to the Board of Fish for its 2017 to 2018 cycle, which means this summer subsistence fishing won't be affected. Mark Soggy, who manages the local subsistence fishery for Fish and Game, said it is possible for the department itself to put restrictions on subsistence nets. Though, he said they aren't planning to take that step this year. But Fish and Game is implementing a number of other restrictions across the board this year in an attempt to protect Chinook. That includes a near shutdown of sport fishing for kings around Haines and Skagway. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
Haines athletes have plenty of 5Ks and half marathons to choose from during the summer. But this year, a new race will debut in the Valley. The first annual Chilkat Challenge Triathlon is set for July 15th. Organizers of the 40-mile race aim to draw awareness to the importance of the Chilkat River. KHNS's Abby Collins has more.
Alaska Clean Water Advocacy is hosting the race. Gershon Cohen is the director.
We just wanted to do something that celebrated the river and that brought attention to how important it is that the Chilkat River stays healthy and productive.
The triathlon will consist of paddling, biking, and running. It's open to single competitors or teams of three.
It will be an 8-mile paddle from Mosquito Lake down to 21 Mile, a bike ride down to Jones Point, and then an 8-mile run down to Chilkat State Park.
Cohen says the paddling will take place on a safe and protected part of the river.
It's going to avoid any of the really, you know, potentially, challenging parts of the Chilkat.
He says there will be awards for the top finishers.
There'll be prizes. We're going to have a party at the parade grounds after it's all over. And I think it'll be a great time. And I've been talking to folks from Whitehorse and Juneau and all over, and everybody seems very excited about it.
One of the goals of the event is to bring attention to the value of the river. With that in mind, Cohen says he expects some people to think the race is anti-mining. But he says it's bigger than that.
Whether the mine happens or not, we need to be thinking about protecting the river. It's where our commercial fishing and sport fishing industry comes from. It's subsistence harvesting. It's the tourism industry is based on the fact that we have a healthy river. So regardless of what the future brings, protecting that river is an important thing for this community.
The race takes place on July 15th. There is a $75 entry fee per person or $150 for a three-person team. You can find more information at ChilcatChallengeTriathlon.com. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.